When you give your kids the opportunity to practice critical thinking from that early age all the way through, like actually sit and be quiet and don't do anything to help them until they ask you for help, which is the hardest thing in the world. And even then, when they do ask you for help, you don't do it for them. You help them figure out how to do it for themselves, right? That's when you give them another degree of self-confidence that is needed to not only survive their day-to-day and, you know, succeed, but it's also going to give them the mental and emotional well-being that they deserve and that you want for them.
Welcome to Systemize Your Life. This is your go-to podcast for work-from-home moms who are desperate to reclaim control, find order, and escape the never-ending cycle of overwhelm. Hi, I'm your host, Chelsea Joe. I've dedicated this show to modern women just like you who are eager to give their very best to their home, family, and work, all without losing themselves in the process. Get ready to discover the systems you need to craft powerful relationships, get organized, keep up on that housework, manage your time like a boss, love those babies well, and maybe even sneak in a date night or two. If you are tired of hopelessly watching life pass you by, then it's time to grab your ticket off that hot mess express and join me in life where systems do all the heavy lifting. This is where you transform your chaos into confidence and take your life from overwhelmed to organized. What do you say, friends? Let's do this.
We are back for this second episode in the Get Your Kids to Help series. This is part two, and I am so excited because I'm going to be breaking down the most important part of what I think of this entire series is like the real meat and potatoes, and then we're going to finish it off with something extra special and sweet in the third episode that's coming out right after this one releases. There's going to be a few really major takeaways with guidance on some really simple exercises or homework, I guess you would say, that you can do to crack the code and truly turn over a new leaf in your parenting. Because here is the deal. I'm going to be using the word we a lot in this episode. The main reason I'm doing that is because I truly want you to know that this is not an episode where I have done this and I'm doing this and this is working incredible for me. It's not. I mean, it is. And I've always had this in like the bones of my parenting, but something switched very recently. And I want you to know that I have this incredible vision for my family. And I really think that it's a vision that I want every family to be able to have for their kids as well. You're going to spend a fraction of your child's life with them. I know it feels like an eternity, but truly when you look at the lifespan of your child, the amount of time that you spend with them is very, very small. And if there's anything that I can transfer to you through this series, it would be a sense of urgency to not delay in making these changes. That is what's been pressed upon my heart. It's what I think about. It's what I eat, sleep, and breathe these days, and I wanted to share. I know it seems like you have a really long time until your kids are grown. When you're in the season of changing diapers and hustling sticky wet Cheerios and applesauce pouches all day long, I get it. But with my oldest one transitioning out of being a little kid, it's hit me so hard. Every single season with our kids presents a window of opportunity that we're never going to get back. I also think another reason why this has hit me so hard is because my oldest is six, and in our minds, our family is complete at this point. You know, sometimes other plans happen. I get that. But we really are done growing our family. And so when I hear my six-year-old's little voice and I hold her little hand And then I hear my oldest one's voice and I hold her much bigger hand and her nose is at my chin these days. I'm like, wow. Oh, wow. And so I've begun to cherish motherhood, and I see and I feel the urgency in a way I've never felt it before. The outcome that we want for our kids starts with the foundation that we set for them right now, today. And although our intentions are incredible, we get lost in our busy schedules, our rushed agendas, our stacked to-do lists, piles of laundry, our debt, our bills, our relationships, and our desire to be personally fulfilled through all the things that we're doing. When the idea hit me for this series, I was smack dab in the middle of a deep revelation that everything that I have the power to do in my life right now is because I learned how to do things that I didn't want to do when I was a kid. I hated so many of the things that I was made to do, like cleaning and organizing and doing yard work and going on long road trips followed by really long hikes that seemed so boring and horrible to me. And they all amounted. I mean, there's so many other things, you know, from all the things. Like, I didn't understand why we had to go secondhand shopping when I was a kid. Now I'm obsessed with it. And there's so much that I could talk about with this that my parents did so unbelievably well. And there's honestly some of the most painful lessons that I've learned in my life that I can tie back to opportunities that my family, my parents tried to keep me from experiencing because they wanted to protect me from pain, from heartache, from hardship, which we all want to do as parents. But I'm going to challenge that deeply in this episode, because keeping our kids from discomfort at all costs literally costs them. It robs them from the ability to build the confidence that they need to handle these situations and to have experienced it, to have any sort of understanding or wisdom when they get into situations when we aren't around. And as painful as it is, today we are here to break down just how important it is to stop doing everything for our kids in order to give them a fighting chance at succeeding or just simply being happy, independent adults. So, are you ready to get into it? Because there's a lot and it's so good. It's so good. I've spent hours researching, looking at data, and really trying to get to some of the science behind this passion that I have. And, you know, I've heard the science, but like, I really wanted to comb through so much of the data, the studies, all of the information, and put it all together in something that's really tangible for you. So the first thing that I want you to do, and this is a really big takeaway for you, if this is something that you feel really strongly about and you're like, man, I really do a lot for my kids, more than I should. They're spoiled, they have tantrums, or I'm just like a money bank to them and like there's no respect, there's no boundaries. If you're struggling with like any of this stuff, then I want you to look at the why behind your choice to constantly provide for your kids. So all parents, obviously moms and dads, but mothers, we tend to overcompensate and try and do everything for our kids to shield them from hardships, which we've already talked about. But I want you to look at why. Why are you doing that? And so I've got a list of 10 things that I'm going to just kind of spit off really quick here. And I want you to just ask yourself, is this my why? And you probably have more than one of them. I know I do. The first one is just like a genuine deep love and care for your kids, and you don't want to see them hurt. You want to protect them from everything, right? It's like our instinct. So that could be one. Number two is a fear of failure. I think a lot of parents have a fear that their kids experiencing failure and hardship is something horrible because of what they went through as in their own upbringing, and they want to give them something different. They want to protect them from that, you know. For the longest time, I remember whenever I was 16, I think it was 15, and one of my really close friends, she turned 16 before me, and she got a brand new car, and that, it hit me so hard for so many years of my life, to the point where all the way up until like 6 months ago when I had this revelation, all I wanted to do was provide my kids with a brand new car when they turned 16. And Blaine and I were walking through the parking lot today before I recorded this episode, just out and about. And I was like, I need to tell you something. And I told him, I'm like, I know I've been telling you this for the last 8 years that I want us to continue working really hard so we can give this to our kids. I'm like, and I don't feel that way anymore. I want to give them the opportunity to make their own money and show them how to earn that themselves. And he just like looked at me. I was like, I know, because this was one of the things that I realized. And I think this is going to be really common for a lot of people. Number three is cultural or societal expectations, the people around you. You feel pressured by what is supposed to be, what kind of pictures we have to post on social media of our kids graduating from college and holding the diploma and whatever, right? Four is your own unfulfilled dreams that you're trying to make sure that your kids experience, right? You want them to have a better life than you, or you want them to amount to the thing that you couldn't do because of whatever reason you couldn't become the level of insert, you know, musician, artist, sports, like whatever it is, you want them to have that. Five is guilt or some type of overcompensation for your own shortcomings. Six is just flat out being overprotective. Like a lot of fear is what keeps you from wanting your kids to cut their own strawberries with a kid safe knife, and you're afraid they're going to fall off the stool, and like there's just so many fears, right? Number seven is comparison to other parents. Like, what's that dance mom going to think? What's the other mom at school going to think? I am so glad I got rid of this a long time ago, because that ate me up for many years when my kids were little. Number eight is just really high expectations of your kids. And you'll probably want to dig in. You'll want to dig into where that comes from. But having super high expectations of your kids may be the reason why you're constantly trying to help them so that they can reach or meet those expectations. Number nine is anxiety about their future. So if you're super anxious about their future, about what the world is going to look like, about making sure that they're set up to succeed, trying to overcompensate by controlling different aspects of their lives might be something that you're seeing right now. And then the 10th one is just not being confident in their abilities, like just not thinking that your kid actually can drive, or that your kid can go move out and be independent, or that your kid can actually put the dishes away from the top shelf of the dishwasher without dropping the glass. Like, it doesn't matter how old your kid is, this is completely applicable. So obviously you're going to want to pause that. That's super quick. Write those down. Go back and assess them, because that's going to be really vital for you to understand that in order to move forward. So the main thing that we're going to get into right now, that we've kind of put all that aside, are the three ways that we hurt our kids when we do everything for them. So here's what ends up happening. We take away these three main foundational core, not even foundational, foundational and the core. Like it's everything for your child. And we end up robbing them from these three main things, which is such a huge detriment to everything that they could have going for them. So it's like you're in direct conflict with your goal for your kids by not stepping back and just letting them make some stinking mistakes is what we're really talking about here. Let them learn, let them experience, let them try, let them explore, let them, right? So here's the first thing that you are robbing your children of. It's natural consequences. So I want you to write this down on a piece of paper. When you are constantly helping your kids and not actually asking them and setting the stage for them and requiring them to help, you're removing the consequences that would happen with you not being there. For example, not wearing a jacket to school. You force it down their throat. You told them twice to get it on the way out the door. But instead, you get out of the car, you go into the house, you get the jacket, and you give it to them so they don't freeze their bums off at school, right? You've just prevented them from actually experiencing the natural consequence, which then you do this over and over and over and over again. So they never learn. You always have to do it for them. You can see where I'm going with this, right? So stepping back and allowing your kids to feel what last place feels like when they lose, what an argument with a friend feels like, what whining instead of big girl words, which is what we experience today, gets you or doesn't get you, right? What's the natural consequence for that? What is the natural consequence for not turning in your homework and missing recess? What does that feel like? Spending a bunch of money on junk food or whatever they do instead of not having gas money and being stuck at home. So now you can't go meet up with your friends and you said you would be there. What does that feel like? Do you let your kids feel those feelings of their natural consequences? This is an incredible place to look and see if you are interfering with the absolute necessity of your children's learning and independence. The second foundational piece of life that we steal from our kids when we don't allow them or require them to help is their independent problem solving. Taking away your child's ability to think for themselves is likely one of the worst things that you could ever do to them. The biggest way our entire society is doing this right now is by using screens to entertain and babysit their children. If we, meaning me and you, look at every single time our kids have ever been given a screen alone, not like we went to the movies together, we watched a movie together, we sat down and did this thing with a screen together, not that, but gave it to them alone outside of homework for kids that are independent and old enough to do that, it was to keep them occupied or to not be bored while we were off doing something else. Keeping your child from having to figure out what to do when they are alone without you by using a screen sets them up to never think independently. They will turn to screens to regulate emotions, validate their worth, cope with stress, find meaning, and grow in their human connections. This is why the rate of depression in our children in America is skyrocketing. When kids get to do their own problem solving, they learn how to be self-reliant. They gain a sense of pride. This is intrinsic motivation, which is what you want. This is what we want for ourselves and our children. They begin to take ownership. And when we start this from the very, and I mean the very beginning, a very young age, we see children continuously seek opportunities that challenge them and help them grow on their own. When you give your children room, actual room for independent problem solving, give them a minute. Let them think. Let them breathe without you over their shoulder. When you don't jump in and ask the teacher to let them turn in homework late so they can get a better grade, when you let your five-year-old crack an egg alone so that it spills egg yolk and egg whites all over the counter and then say, oops, what now? And watch them grab a tiny cloth that you know is not going to work. And when it doesn't work, you say, oh, how about a bigger rag? When we guide our children to independent problem solving, they will become adults who can endure and persevere through hard times because they have experienced it all their life and know how to lean on themselves instead of you. We don't want our kids. I mean, we do. I mean, please come to mom. Can we just be a mom for a minute and say, I feel you. I want my babies to always need me, but like really, we don't. When you really sit and you think about what you want for your children in their future, that's our job, right? I mean, it's heartbreaking for a mom. It really is. But nothing feels better than knowing and seeing your kid go out and do hard things and build that kind of confidence. It's the critical thinking skills that they need so badly in order to have the success that you're dreaming of for them. And this is something that science proves is vital for our kids to learn starting from the age of 2 and up. These critical thinking skills really, truly do start to develop in their young brains even before the age of 3. When you give your kids the opportunity to practice critical thinking from that early age all the way through, like actually sit and be quiet and don't do anything to help them until they ask you for help, which is the hardest thing in the world. And even then, when they do ask you for help, you don't do it for them. You help them figure out how to do it for themselves, right? That's when you give them another degree of self-confidence that is needed to not only survive their day-to-day and, you know, succeed, but it's also going to give them the mental and emotional well-being that they deserve and that you want for them. All right, let's look at the third and last thing that our kids must have. And whenever we're constantly intervening and we are constantly doing for them, we rob them of their God-given identity. And I wrestled with this one, but I feel super strongly about it. And I felt really strongly about this. I'm going to tell you a quick story that was not even planned in my notes. When I was pregnant with Bailey, when I was pregnant with both girls, I knew the day that they were coming. My oldest one, I knew that she was going to be born the next day that I was going to go into labor. I called my boss and I said, I'm going to have my baby tomorrow. I'm not coming to work. And she was like, you are? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, you in labor? I'm like, no, but I know. Had my baby the next day. With Bailey, I had Blaine and Frankie. I said, I was 3 weeks from my due date. And I said, I need you guys to go on a date. I need you to take Frankie. I need to be home and alone. I need to be home alone with my baby tonight. I just need it to be me and her. She's coming. And she was born the next day. I went into labor the next morning. And both of those moments, I saw a vision for both of my kids in front of my face. And I knew that they needed to be independent of me. I knew that they had a purpose that was something that I don't even know what it is. Like, I just know that it's my job to help them with this and to stay out of their gosh darn way. Like, I knew that they were destined to be something incredible. And like, we were about to cross that barrier from me having full protection responsibility for them to gradually over the course of their childhood, right? Obviously, I still have full protection over them all the way until they're adults. But you know, it's that gradual, very gradual release of responsibility. And regardless of what your belief system is, we all know that our children were born to be someone very, very, very unique. Your kiddos have a future that is so precisely planned. And as parents, it's our job to guide them to who they are, not keep them from it. And so I want you to be really careful with this one thing because it could truly change so much in the future for your children. We want our kids to have creativity, resourcefulness, confidence, empathy, and humility, gratitude, and a balanced understanding of how the real world works, right? And the patience to be able to deal with what that real world actually looks like. We don't want them to have that limited thinking, constant fear, a sense of entitlement, like, where's my food? Like, I'm just supposed to have these things because mom served me every day of my life. Anybody else guilty? Like, come help with dinner, please, right? We don't want them to be expecting things that they want with very little work and have no sense of who they really are and how to use their strengths to combat the hard things that life will bring them. It's not an if, it's a when. They will experience hard times and they need to be able to deal with it. When you take the time to set routines in your life that involve the kids, they get to work with their hands, use their brains, and really experience life through their own eyes, not through a screen, not through mom, not through dad, but for themselves. I love to use the example of going to a restaurant because it's everywhere. We can't unsee it. And for a lot of us, and for a lot of you listening in your own lives, it's really going to be hard to undo this. But I challenge you. I challenge you to work really hard at this one thing, if nothing else. Kids at a table with an iPhone or an iPad, they aren't asked to help with conversations. They aren't asked to help to pick out their own food or order their own food or clean a space or unroll their silverware or squeeze their own lemon. They're not asked to do anything at the table. Literally everything is done for them. They're not involved in that process at all. It robs your child of everything that they need to self-regulate, think through problems like, oh no, they're all out of fries and I really wanted fries. Now what do I do? Where's the menu to see what my other options are? Literally every single day you are presented with the opportunity to either allow your children or to deny your children the experiences that they were meant to have that day. And they were meant to experience patience at a dinner table. They were meant to be involved in their life. You have to stop making this easy for them. And I know it makes it harder for you in the short term, and I get that. Start with one small thing. We have to allow our kids to do their life, all of it. We have to allow them to struggle through reading that sentence that takes them forever to sound out the word cat. You must not tell them that the word is cat. You must let them figure it out. You have to be patient. You have to let them do this. You have to let them spill the water when they pour their own cup. And not every time and not always, because I get it, it's exhausting. Like sometimes we just gotta pour it ourselves. But I challenge you so deeply, do this with me, because we're doing it on all fronts in our house. I'm not doing your laundry anymore. You are 11. Why has it been done for you this long? And that goes, your two-year-old does not need you to pick up their toys anymore. They need you to be there with them, but they know how to pick that thing up and put it in the basket, right? All across the board. I don't care how old or how young your kids are. There is a way for you to apply this. There is a way for you to use this. I have such a passion for this in my home right now. And more than ever, I am so overjoyed to use this platform, to use this podcast, and share a part of my vision for my children with you. And with that, I look forward to meeting you back here for the last episode in this series, where we are going to be talking about breaking down the four routines that your kids can be a part of and be in charge of right now. It's going to be a great time. I'm so excited that you're here with me, and I'm looking forward to having you back here for the next and final episode in the Get Your Kids to Help series right here on the Systemize Your Life podcast.
Before we wrap up today's episode, I want to extend a sincere invitation to you, an incredible wife, mom, and woman who has serious dreams of making change, to really take what you learned today and implement even just a small part of it in your life. When you make changes, it inspires everyone around you. If today's episode resonated with you, I'm certain it will resonate with others too. So head over to iTunes, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. Your review will help more women discover our podcast and join our supportive community. But your impact doesn't stop there. You hold the power to motivate and equip the women closest to you in your life with a simple, "Hey girl, let's do this together." Text this episode to your best friend, or maybe even your mama. Whoever it is in your life that's knee-deep in the same kind of chaos you're in, they need to know about this system too. And if you're feeling fancy, you can even take a screenshot of this episode, tag me, and post it to your stories. Because together, we can create a trail of wisdom for all the incredible women around us, reshaping how we not only care for ourselves, but each other. I can't wait to connect with you on Instagram until we meet back here again real soon for the next episode on the Systemize Your Life podcast.